Welcome to the Self-Talk Radio Show.
Mind-changing radio.
After a severe car accident left her with a broken neck and the possibility of paralysis, my next guest moved forward and said she was not going to compromise. She is the CEO of Smooth Sail, and she had two mantras that became her vision for forecasting how her life was about to unfold. She's been the guest on ABC TV News, Time Magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine, Sales and Service Excellence Magazine. She's the top 1% influencer on cred.com, and she is one of the top innovative sales blogs. She is Eleanor Stutz, CEO of Smooth Sail, and my guest on Self Talk Radio Show.
Well, thank you, Sarah, for having me as your guest today.
So how did you get into sales?
Oh, this is a funny story. My husband worked with salespeople. One night he came home. I was on the computer, my back to him, and I couldn't believe my ears. He said, Eleanor, I know what you should do. You have the personality of a salesperson. And I got up with a solemn look on my face, and I asked him, is that a compliment or an insult? And that's the story, honest to goodness.
I know, because a lot of us, you know, we think sell is a four-letter word, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, I went about it the opposite way, and it proved to be highly successful.
So what were you encouraged to do, and how did you buck the system?
Well, it took 6 interviews be able to get my first job of selling an unknown brand of copier door-to-door. Not very exciting. On top of it, they were very prejudiced against women, didn't want me there, and refused to train me. It actually turned out to be a blessing in disguise. In those days, we had a cold call companies in the field. And a secretary said to me, I think you knock on every door in your territory. And I said, okay, you've got it. I figured I had nothing to lose. So I was out all day. And I was so surprised when people let me in. I asked them why. I actually had my clientele train me. And nothing can match clientele training you compared to what a script or something else might take place in corporate. So with that and the personal touch, because I didn't know how to sell or anything about what I was selling, I became the top producer by the 4th month.
Wow. Well, so what did your customers tell you? What was your secret sauce of knocking on a door and them letting you in versus somebody else?
Well, I asked why they let me in, what was their interest, and then, of course, I hated my job, so I asked them how they got into their career, what their personal and business goals were. I just kept the conversation friendly, and it turns out, even if you're a well-heeled salesperson, that's the best approach on the first meeting when you're dealing with larger companies, is to get to know the people on a professionally personal level. And then I would ask them how they chose vendors, because I had no clue at the time how they chose, what would put somebody over the top to finally be selected, what they needed, what they considered. And they finally had to tell me to bring a brochure in. I didn't even know to do that. So when I finally did, they began buying. But all those questions, the personal and the professional, that's what did it.
Personal and professional. Now, do women sell differently than men?
I believe so. From what I've seen and heard, men usually go in and just begin selling immediately. They just regurgitate everything they know and show that they know the most, and that's why you should buy from them. Women, on the other hand, most women attempt to build a relationship, try to get to the heart of the matter of why you're there, what the long-term goals are, and lay out all the possibilities in place. And what happens is most salespeople leave money on the table because they're only focusing on one thing that they're required to sell. But if you have the conversation, more possibilities open up and then the sale grows.
So you're more of what I would call an interrogative salesperson as opposed to a hard traditional salesperson. You ask the questions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I've likened it to being a good doctor. You go in, find out what the problems are, consult with them, ask them, have you tried this? Have you tried that? What have the results been? What's your experience? Why did you like it? Why didn't you like it? And then prescribe what you believe. You know, the options are with a meeting of the minds. It's not just from your own viewpoint. It's the whole thing's in a negotiation, but a negotiation with a smile on your face. That's the difference.
Yeah. Definitely. Having the right energy walking in the door is definitely going to open more doors for you instead of having them close in your face.
Yeah, and that just reminded me of a very important point for your audience, and that is there are absolutely no totem poles. My mother gave me the best training. She said, always smile, be respectful, and always tell the truth. So whenever I walked in to see a guard, a receptionist, somebody walking me down the hall, I treated them as if they were the CEO of their own job. And they actually many times reported back and told the CEO that they had to buy from me because I was the only one who treated them with respect.
We're speaking with Eleanor Stutz. She is the CEO of Smooth Sail and talking about how women and men sell differently and how you can improve your sales game. Now, do you think cold calling is still the best way to sell? I used to cold call, and I would have sweaty palms. I had anxiety over it. I still have nightmares about that. How do you feel about cold calling?
Well, I initially did, but somebody told me to make a game out of it, play what's behind the gold door. And once something is turned into a game for me, it becomes intriguing, and I love it, and I challenge myself. But truthfully, I don't know if it's still done anymore. I used to spend my entire day on it as an entrepreneur, but a lot of things can be done online. And through social media, I've learned to attract a tremendous amount of interest. Social media was my wish come true because I used to literally knock on 60 doors a day. And instead, I could put out my best information and attract interest and have people contact me.
Now, when you put out your best information, what does that mean? Does it mean a newsletter, or how do you do that, a report?
Well, Twitter's my favorite platform. I continually add to my Twitter feed. It's somewhat automated, but all my own thoughts. Of course, I retweet other people who inspire me. I write blogs a few times a week and have a big subscriber base that goes to entrepreneurs, corporations, and media. And I deliver articles to personalbrandingblog.com about how to build your personal brand as it relates to business and sales. And very often my blogs are reposted in the form of articles by other publications like iris.xyz. So it just becomes viral, whatever you do. It's incredible. One thing prompts another.
Now, do you use LinkedIn at all?
Yes, I just realized I didn't mention that. It's a 1-2 step in my mind. When I meet intriguing people on Twitter and I look at their brief profile, I will then go to LinkedIn to look at their longer profile. And then should I see synergy, I will mention it and ask if they'd like to connect. I'm at a point, though, where I maxed out my connections, so I have to tell people if they want to connect with me, I'm open, but they need to send me an invitation. But LinkedIn is a tremendous resource for salespeople and entrepreneurs.
Interesting. How do you end up, it seems like the times I've been on LinkedIn, I get a tremendous amount of junk mail from LinkedIn, and sometimes I don't even open the links anymore because it just bogs down everything. How do you streamline that? Sometimes if you join a group, I find I'm inundated with emails. Do you have any suggestions on that?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, take a look at all the groups that you're on and delete the ones that you, all honesty, don't have time to participate. They say you shouldn't join a group unless you have the time to participate, and our time is very limited. So
yeah.
I only belong to a few.
And I'm interested in hearing about your Twitter experience. Now, do you use a hashtag in order to find groups of interest or topics of interest in order to hone in on the right customer for you?
That's a very good question. And my answer is no. I know you're supposed to, though. So for me, it was a grand experiment about whether the attraction would work. So I was a very early adopter, and I was told I'd kill my business, but the opposite happened. And I kept adding to my Twitter feed, and I'm on there several times a day retweeting people. And people like what I have to say, so they keep finding me and following me. And to my grand surprise, because I love it and doing, you know, what I care about, I became known as the top 1% influencer. And I'm at the top of the leaderboards for sales.
Amazing. Now, what I'm noticing in our conversation today is you have a pattern of doing the opposite of what people tell you to do. And I love that about you.
A relative once remanded me for sure I can't do anything like anybody else.
And you had a moment, you talk about your darkest tunnel, and I think that may have some impact in why you kind of do it a little differently than everybody else. Can you share what happened to you with the darkest tunnel?
My darkest tunnel was really an amazing experience. And I always say from your darkest tunnel, you see your brightest light. Just be patient. Because of a car accident, I was slammed into in the rear end at a red light. Eventually, I had a broken neck. I'm going to give you the short form of the story. While I was on the stretcher, my immediate family was being consulted and being told that the best outcome would be paralysis for me. And, of course, we know what the alternative was. And I could hear them bursting into sobs. I was only a few feet away, but at the very moment I heard the sobbing, two visions came to me. The first was in the form of a life report card, and I had very high marks on the left-hand side, but the right-hand side was completely blank, entitled Community Service. And with the energy left in my body, I promised myself in the great beyond I would begin giving back to communities. But I am a salesperson through and through, and I negotiated with the great beyond that I would do so if I were able to walk out of a hospital. Next thing I know, a gold light encased my entire body. It was absolutely spectacular. And then the first vision faded away, and a second came about, and it was a picture of a generic figure standing on a mound. I had taken a public speaking class, had done quite well with it, and always wanted to be a known speaker. And so, again, fervently, I said with every ounce of energy left, yes, I will begin giving back to communities. I will become that speaker, and I will speak far and wide, but I have to be able to walk out of the hospital. And with that, the vision ended, and the gold light slowly dissipated. And then my family came over sobbing, tears running down their cheeks. And I said, don't worry, I'm going to be fine. They must have thought I was, you know, delirious. But the short version of this, the next day I was heavily medicated, told I'd meet the surgeon. I was expecting words of encouragement. Instead, I saw a very stern look on his face and very adamant statement, Mrs. Stutz, when you wake up, most likely you will be paralyzed. And I went into sales mode with a mirroring technique that I normally don't use. I copied his vocabulary, look on his face, sound of his voice. And I said, doctor, when I wake up, I fully expect to be well. And the last thing I remember was him jumping backwards.
Good.
But
he deserved it.
Hours later, he was standing over me and said, I'm a walking miracle that in 4 days I'd be able to walk out on my own. And the entire staff that was on duty in the next few days came to see me and referred to me as a walking miracle. I didn't understand it until later on when it was explained which vertebrae were broken and that there was no hope of recovery.
Wow.
So I have a couple of mantras. Nothing's impossible when you have the mindset to achieve and a flexible plan in place. And number two, believe, become, empower. Believe you can do it. Become that person. Turn around and help people coming up behind you.
Is sell a four-letter word to you? Best-selling author of Nice Girls Do Get the Sale, Hired, and The Wish, Eleanor Stutz, shares how she overcame a serious car accident and 6 months later launched her sales development and keynote enterprise, Smooth Sail. She talks about the ideal client she loves to coach and the secrets of effective sales performance. It's all coming up next on Self-Talk Radio Show. Can't sleep? Try this. Sleep Meditation offers soothing meditations to help you sleep like a baby and awaken what's inside. All you have to do is choose the meditation you want to listen to from our library at sleepmeditation.org, click play, and enjoy. If you want to keep the recording, purchase the downloads you want. Plus, Sleep Meditation offers specials on motivational pieces that help you start positive change, stop bad habits, or sleep like a baby. sleepmeditation.org.
After you endured this serious accident, you also took a Dale Carnegie course.
The Dale Carnegie course was early in my sales career. I was a nervous wreck meeting with executives.
Oh.
And in fact, the very first class, I was afraid to actually announce my name in front of the group. I was a very shy introvert. By the end of the class, 3 months long, I became the grand prize winner because I loved it.
Wow. So, what was the big what was the big turnaround for you? What was the aha moment that shifted you from being afraid to raising your hand and being first in line?
Well, initially I had to keep pushing myself to go back and do what I knew I needed it if I was going to be successful. And I kept practicing at home whatever I needed, and I started sharing the amazing or pretty awful stories that happened in corporate sales. And people would laugh, they'd applaud, they'd talk to me after, and I realized, well, this is gaining momentum. Maybe there's something to it. And that's what encouraged me. Years later, after my accident, I had an opportunity to train with Les Brown, and I knew I needed to brush up my skills. So he heard my story, tweaked it, and ever since, when I give inspirational keynotes as they apply to business, I receive standing ovations every single time. I owe him a lot for helping me with that.
So he was your mentor that helped you along the way?
It was a one-time class, and just a few minutes with him and hearing his other students, I knew exactly what to do.
Wow, that's amazing. And then you launched Smooth Sail.
I did. It was 6 months after my accident.
Wow.
And I decided I was going to go for it. And I was profitable right out the gate because I had lived in that town for a very long time and I knew the major players. But then we moved.
Oh, no.
And, oh, my God. Havoc wrecked over me. And that's how I came to be advised that to establish credibility, they say history repeats itself. They didn't think a woman would know enough about sales to train people. So I was told to write a book to establish credibility. So my first book, I wrote about all the horror stories that took place in corporate and how I overcame them. And I pressed submit. And once I did, I thought, oh, no, people are going to think I'm a nutcase for having put up with all of that. But the opposite happened. It was so out of the norm that it made Time magazine. I was interviewed on CBS TV News with Spencer Christian, and it was translated into four languages to become known as an international bestseller. And so, the title is Nice Girls Do Get the Sale, Relationship Building That Gets Results.
What was the wildest story that you wrote about in that book?
Well, the craziest one, and it was right in the beginning. That stands out most because it just, oh, my God, it's like nails on a chalkboard. I was the top producer on the fourth month, and so the mid-fifth month looked like I was going to do it again. The manager said to the guys, okay, if Eleanor makes her numbers, I'm going to treat you guys to a lingerie fashion show. And the lingerie fashion show was to take place at a motel on the bad side of town. So you can imagine what was going to happen there.
Oh,
I didn't
boy.
Know what the heck. I said, let's go for lunch or a movie or even a ball game. He said, nope, nothing doing. I promised the guys. The day of, he said, who's coming? I was the first one at his desk. I slammed my fist down. I said, count me in. He said, you can't come. I said, they're my numbers and you're not stopping me. And I left. I was so angry.
Yeah.
And I really didn't know what I was going to do. But my car drove me to the motel. And I purposely went in about 15 minutes late, and fortunately it was a long buffet table style, a banquet table, and the end seat was available. So I sat down in the end seat in the middle of the show, and I began hurling questions about copiers across the table as far down as I possibly could, to the point where nobody could enjoy the show. And they swore they would never, ever do that again.
Wow. You also, after you did Nice Girls Do Get the Sale, you got all kinds of recognition for that. So then it really didn't matter where you lived, right?
No,
now,
not at all.
Tell me more about Smooth Sail. Is this an online business now, or is it a combination of face-to-face coaching? How does that all work now?
It is a combination. It's a sales training company, and I believe I gave you the definition before. And I provide a lot of information online. I can do coaching via video or telephone, and I speak at events in public. I'm going to one in August for a financial credit convention, and so it's a variety.
So when you published Nice Girls Do Get the Sale and you got all that notoriety, is that when you really felt, hey, I made it? Was there a pivotal point in your life where you said, yeah, this is it. I hit my goal.
Well, it was highly exciting. And this is the thing, and it goes back to the sales philosophy of always having a lot of possibilities in your pipeline. Because once a sale is over, you have to start over. And the same with, you know, having a very successful book on the market. It can be a tremendous letdown after the initial excitement moves away, because you're not going to be in the spotlight forever.
Right.
So I have always been creating new products and services and learning, you know, being on the leading edge with things. So it's important to keep the possibilities going. And I kept my commitment for community service. Initially, it was teaching job seekers how to sell themselves on interviews, because my thanks for always being a top producer was to have my quota tripled and my hard-earned accounts given to the men. So about every 15 months, I acquired a new job and quickly realized it followed the sales cycle. So that book, after the economy fell, I wrote the second book, Hired, and that was featured on FedEx kiosk coast to coast.
Wow. Now, with Hired, how did you, because that's a definitely a different energy than Nice Girls Do Get the Sale. That was more open to men and women, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
So when you published that book and you did it with, now help me understand the FedEx connection.
The publishing house, Career Press, had a connection with them and were able to get it on the kiosk.
Wow. So you did that in 2011. Now, do you find once you write the book, it generates sales for Smooth Sale? And that is that how you keep the momentum going, or do keynote speaking? What are ways that you help propel your business with Smooth Sale that are successful for you?
Yeah, everything feeds into one another. And as an entrepreneur, let me back up a minute. First of all, I want to say men are reading Nice Girls today and they're tweeting about it, which is brings a smile to my face.
Good.
But as a salesperson, I used to think, why do you need marketing? Why do you need to know about branding, et cetera, because we're the ones who pick up the phone, make the call, make the appointment, and earn the sale. We don't need anybody else. But that's so completely false. As an entrepreneur, I realized you need to establish a strong personal brand, convert that to a power branding program, and so many other disciplines feed into it to really enable sales that I actually wrote a third book called The Wish, because social media was my wish to begin attracting people instead of spending hours in the field. So that came true. But writing a book, and now with social media and putting out your tweets and posts and letting people know about your products and services, that garners much more interest.
Yeah.
And I'm connecting with big companies now.
Do you find...
Never would have happened before.
Do you find that the minute you write a book, especially if it's about technology like social media, I found this anyway in my past, the minute I would write an article or something, it would be expired and Facebook or Twitter would have a new app that would be coming out that would make everything I wrote irrelevant. So have you come across that where or are the points that you have in your third book more general lines of how to utilize strategically social media?
Yes, I get what you're saying. And for that very reason, I kept it general.
Yeah.
But it was information that people needed to know before they started using social media about putting sales on a higher plane, how to communicate magnetically, that gold light over my body. I developed the term magnetic communication to attract people, and how to employ it and to pick your favorite three platforms and, you know, what you can expect from it. But I put a disclaimer in there. It's going to change over time. So stay up to date with it.
Yeah. Is there a difference?
And I add sales tips at the end of each chapter. And the sales tips will never go out of style because it's about etiquette and common sense.
Yeah, definitely. And it seems lately there's a lot of common sense has gone out the window. That's a song for another time, definitely.
Yes.
Now, is there a difference between the needs of a career salesperson and an entrepreneur?
Well, I believe most entrepreneurs probably don't know about sales, so they have a need to know about it. And entrepreneurs need, dependent on, you know, if they have a team or, you know, somewhat of a bigger business or a solo entrepreneur, you need to learn more discipline. And as you hire people, make sure that they're on the same page with you with values and priorities and how you approach people and technology. So there are a lot more decisions to be made as an entrepreneur. It's more tasking for certain.
Yeah. When you're hiring a salesperson as an entrepreneur, what are some of the traits that you look for?
Well, definitely values and priorities and how they deal with objections. And if somebody says something incorrectly, do they lay blame or do they look for a solution to work it out? All these are very important so that you keep the reputation of your company intact. You know, the good news about social media, everything goes viral and everybody gives you glowing testimonials. The bad thing is, one little thing goes wrong, it's all over the internet.
Right, right. Very true. So what's next for you?
Well, I'm pretty excited. I developed the Smooth Sale community. My blog has proved to be very popular, and I realize the next step is to provide the community for people who are 5 years or less in their sales profession or entrepreneurial endeavor. And I planning to do video coaching, provide motivational and inspirational quotes several times per week. I have a number of products and services that have already been created and will be included. Some of it's free, and there are two paid levels. And for five highly motivated individuals, I have the premier level that will include private coaching. And I'm really excited about helping more people. Believe, Become, Empower has definitely been at the center of my business model.
Yes, yes. And what kind of person do you absolutely love to coach and mentor?
Someone who's really excited about what they're doing, motivated to do better and achieve more, and someone who these possibilities and things and is willing to give it a try to see if it works for them.
And how do you...
I'm not the type that says you should do or you have to do this, because that's not true for everybody. But
right.
I suggest, why don't you try it and see if it works for you. What I'm also known for is my laser goal setting system, and that's going to be made available. Initially, when I became an entrepreneur, people laughed at me that I'd never make it. And 3 months later, when we met up again, they said, oh, my God, your business is advancing at lightning speed, followed by how did you do it? And I thought back to how I did sales and how I did my business and created the laser goal setting system with accelerators. And I'm happy to share that with listeners and people who join the community.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. So that's something that's going to capture a lot of people's attention, that's for sure. And I did have a question for you on marketing and sales. Sometimes you see that in ads, they're looking for a marketing salesperson. Do you feel that those are two totally different animals or energies that come into a job, and it would be very difficult to marry the two?
I think it would take a unique personality to be able to do that. I do not say I know about marketing. I know about branding, and I think marketing is different. And I can't even pin it down. And I don't feel I'm good at it, because you have to be good at copywriting, too, to catch attention with titles and coffee and all of that, that's not my strength.
Well, I've always considered that marketing is driving the traffic and sales is closing the sale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and marketing is finding the audience that wants to buy your cookies, and you're the Girl Scout selling the cookies.
Right.
So, very interesting, Eleanor. I really have enjoyed speaking with you and learning more about Smooth Sail. Now, the website is smoothsail.net?
Yes, that's the main page. And if you click on the tab that says Community, you'll learn more about what's being offered.
Excellent, excellent.
And my story is in full there, and you will then scroll down to see the three levels of participation.
So going from almost being paralyzed in a car accident to being a top influencer on CRED ranking, number one CRED ranking, is quite impressive. And also
1%, not one. I have to correct that, 1%.
Oh, 1%. Well, hey, you're still number one in my book.
Oh, that's sweet.
Eleanor, thank you so much for being on the show. Eleanor Stutz, she is the founder and CEO of smoothsail.net. You can go find out more about her. Also a best-selling author for Nice Girls Do Get the Sail Hired. And your third book again?
Is The Wish, a 360-degree business development process that fuels sales.
Eleanor Stutz, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Sarah, for having me. Appreciate it.
I'm Sarah Spencer for Self Talk Radio Show.
This program has been a production of Hall Communications, Burlington, Plattsburgh.